الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله ولو على أنفسكم أو الوالدين والأقربين إن يكن غنيا أو فقيرا فالله أولى بهما، فلا تتبعوا الهوى أن تعدلوا، وإن تلووا أو تعرضوا فإن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا. There is one word that captures the essence of all Islamic laws and the essence of all Islamic teachings. There is this one word that describes the overriding value that permeates all Islamic values. And that one word is justice. The Quran says, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانِ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسِ بِالْقِسْطِ. That we have sent aforetime our messengers with clear signs, and we have sent down with them the book and the balance, so that mankind may stand forth in justice. The sole purpose of sending the Anbiya, the prophets, as Allah declares in this ayah of the Quran, was to establish justice in the world and to end injustice. Now, broadly speaking, doing justice means giving everyone his due. But this simple statement seems to camouflage all the complexities of life in all their myriad and ever-changing relations, all the temptations, all the apprehensions, all the concerns, all the conflicts, all the dilemmas. And in order to guide the people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the Anbiya, the prophets, with not just clear signs and the book that distinguishes right from wrong and instructs to justice, but also a mizan, a balance. Now, the book contains the revelations that spell out what is fair, what is unfair, what is right, what is wrong, what is just, what is unjust. The balance, the mizan, refers to another faculty that Allah has blessed us with. It affords us the capacity to establish justice quite easily. And this refers to our ability to measure and to calculate, to understand, to apprehend, so that we can follow the path shown by the book, by the Quran, and explained by the Anbiya, the Sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has afforded us with intelligence and with a conscience as well, and with the capacity to distinguish and to apply appropriately. Now, together these sources, both the Quran and the Mizan, the book that defines and the inherent faculties that affords us the ability to apply those rules, these sources teach us what are the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What are the rights of people? What also are our very own rights to our very own souls? But most importantly, how to balance all these rights and obligations. And a life that is lived in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really, in effect, is a continuous balancing act, both individually and also collectively. Now, under normal circumstances, many people can be just. If we just look around, most people not just love justice and admire the just, but can effect justice. But Islam commands its followers to be just even in the face of the strongest conflicting emotions. And this is where human beings oftentimes fall. In dealing with other human beings, we find there are two major impediments to justice. There are two major hurdles and stumbling blocks. There are two areas that cause us to slip and to fall from this high pedestal. The first is love, and the other is hatred. Now, the Quran teaches us to overcome both in establishing justice, because these two have to be overcome before one can truly be said to be just. As regards overcoming the first impediment, namely love, when we are dealing particularly with issues related to closest of our relatives, and even ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kunu qawwamina bil qist, shuhada'a lillah, walau ala anfusikum, aw al walidain wal aqrabin, in yakun ghaniyan aw faqiran fallahu awla bihima, wala tattabi'u al hawa an ta'dilu, wa in talwu aw tu'ridu, fa inna Allaha kana bima ta'maluna khabira. And O you who believe, stand out firmly for justice as witnesses to Allah. Even though it is against your own selves, or your parents, and your near relatives, whether it concerns a rich or a poor man, Allah stands closer to them both. And do not follow any passion so that you may deal unjustly. If you swerve about or turn aside, Allah is still informed about whatever you do. Now, here is the resolution from the Quran of that perennial, continuous conflict between self-interest and justice. Allah says, be just, even if it is against your narrowly defined self-interest or the interests of those very close to you whom you love, like your children, your parents, your wives. Now, ignorant people think that they are protecting their self-interest by being unjust to others. Now, their decision to be just or unjust may be based on a cold calculation of self-interest. But real faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates one above that narrow-mindedness. And unfortunately, this is the narrow-mindedness that we have all become entrapped by. These ayat remind us that the real protector of interests, the interests of all people, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that He will protect us when we follow His command to be just. He will protect the interests of others and our own interests. The justice demanded by Islam permits no favoritism, to the point that you cannot even favor yourself over others. The other equally potent obstacle and impediment is hatred, as I mentioned earlier. Here the Quran commands, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, that O you who believe, kunu qawwamina lillah, stand out firmly for the sake of Allah, as witnesses to fair dealing, shuhada'a bil qist. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. Let not the hatred of others to you make you swerve to wrong and depart from justice. Be just. هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. This is closest to piety. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And fear Allah. Fear accountability. Fear the consequences of your action. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Because Allah is well acquainted with everything that you do. In other words, what the Quran is telling us is that you cannot do injustice even when you are dealing with your enemy. Now, the natural, uneducated and uncivilized tendency is to treat the enemy as less than a human being, as a person who has no rights, who deserves no justice, no fairness. And there are examples that abound, particularly in this so-called modern civilized era. Guantanamo is probably the best example of this miscarriage of justice. This is uneducated. This is ignorant. This is uncivilized. And it was true in the pre-Islamic tribal Jahiliya that was based on ignorance. It was a society that really measured everything by utility. Whatever was of value or benefit to oneself became the point of reference for morality. Unfortunately, this is the world that we're living in today. It is a society where even justice is measured and applied by the degree to which it meets one's own very narrowly defined self-interest or undermines it. Now, Islam curbs all of this. It is a command to the believers, to the Muslims, with a reminder that Allah is watching you, that enmity of others cannot be used as an excuse for committing injustices against them. Justice, we know, does require retribution. And Islam is very strict when it comes to issues related to retribution and punishment. Islam calls for an eye for an eye, no doubt. But it doesn't mean an innocent eye for an innocent eye. It means the eye of the perpetrator for the eye of the victim. Now, 1400 years ago, these commands created a society where rich, where poor, where the friend, the foe, the Muslim and the non-Muslim, the ruler and the ruled, were all treated equally And all of them could count on receiving justice. The qadis, the judges, were independent. And no one, including even the khalifs of the time, were above the law. If a dispute arose between the khalifa and an ordinary person, both had to appear in court. Both had to provide the evidence. And Islamic history is full of stories of this justice that filled the earth. Wherever Muslims ruled in their golden era, wherever Muslims established the Sharia, the sacred law. Now, this justice further was not restricted to the citizens of Darul Islam or the lands of Islam. Islam declares justice as a fundamental moral value that extends to everyone, whether it's friend, whether it's foe. And we can look at just a few examples from Islamic history, and there are thousands of examples. There was a prominent Sahabi, a companion of the Blessed Prophet Muhammad, called Hudhaifa bin Yaman. And he and his father were once on their way to Medina. They were performing the Hijrah, migrating to Medina, which was the newly established center of Islam. And along the way, they were stopped by Abu Jahl, the arch enemy of Islam. Abu Jahl allowed them to continue only on the condition that they would not participate in any battle against the Quraysh, the pagans of Mecca. When eventually Hudhaifa bin Yaman and his father reached Medina, it just so happened that the Muslims were facing the Battle of Badr, the first battle of Islam, and the most important pivotal battle of Islam. And here we had many poorly armed Muslims who were far outnumbered, who were meeting an enemy much more well-equipped, the Quraysh army, who were almost three times their size. It was a battle in which the very survival of this nascent Muslim community was at stake. And even the very life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was threatened. The very existence of Islam was being threatened. And each single person counted tremendously. Yet the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not permit Hudhaifa and his father to join the Muslim army. Why? Because they had given their word that they would not. They had made a pact and an agreement, even though it was with the enemy. But justice demanded that all pacts and all agreements and all promises have to be honored. And there was no utilitarian justification whatsoever to undermine that principle. Now, there's another example. During the rule of Umar bin Khattab, at one time the Muslim army, having conquered Palestine and taken Jerusalem, had to leave because they were needed for a campaign in Syria against the Byzantine Romans. And as usual, the army had collected the protection tax, the dhimmi tax, from its subjects for providing them with the security and stability that comes with Islamic administration. Now, when the circumstances forced them to leave, obviously they would not be able to provide the necessary protection and afford them the necessary efficient administration. The Muslim army could simply have left, and for better public relations, they could have made the excuse, explaining that the situation was dire and, well, we're sorry, we've got to leave. But this was a Muslim army. And before leaving, they returned all the taxes that they had taken. Although, remember, their subjects were in no position to demand or extract the tax from them. But this was a Muslim army, and they had made a covenant. And they were unable to fulfill the terms of that covenant, namely protection and efficient administration. And it was reported that the non-Muslim subjects of Palestine were left crying at this display of justice, uncompromised justice, that they did not expect from even their own co-religionists when they ruled them, let alone a conquering Muslim foreign army. But this was a principle that was upheld irrespective. It is a principle based on the fundamental of justice that pervades all Islamic teaching. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares in the Holy Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. That Allah commands you to render back your trusts to those to whom they are due. وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. And when you judge between people, that you judge with justice. إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِذُكُمْ بِهِ. Indeed, how excellent is the teachings which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you. Inna Allah kana sami'an basira. Allah is He who hears. Allah is He who sees all things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those noble children of Islam that uphold our noble principles, that uphold justice irrespective. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.